Welcome in to A Year of the Cure right here on AM 580. Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, Veritas Medical. Check out the website, veritasmedical.com. Of course, along the way, if you have any questions for the good doctor, 806-745-5800. And check out the website, veritasmedical.com. Lots of great shows there, past archived programs here on Year of the Cure. Catch up on the shows there. And today, we're going to talk about more of the four pillars. Now, this one is hydration, doctor. So, good morning to you once again.
Good morning.
Good to see you.
Thank you.
So last week we talked about
nutrition. And I want to tell everybody, because I've gotten a few questions about the nutrition, maybe after the four shows of each pillar, then we'll do a Q&A for each one, because I could spend probably 30 minutes answering the questions that there were about nutrition.
Oh, so my gosh, yeah.
Y'all stay tuned. When we get done with these four shows, then we'll do a Q&A show.
Oh, that would be good.
Yeah, because every time I talk, I seem to elicit more questions, so I'll try to be more clear with hydration.
Okay, so that's one of the four pillars.
Yep, and it's my belief that if you can really nail these four things down, then you're equipping the body with what it needs to be resilient and resistant to germs and toxins, and it will have the necessary environment and raw materials to function like it's supposed to function. I know we're going to talk about flu at some point because we're kind of coming into that season and flu shots and all that, and the commercials that you will hear about the flu shot being the best way to prevent the flu. And that's what I take issue with. It's not the best way
right.
to prevent the flu. Your body's got the best way. Your body's own immune system is amazing.
It is.
If we equip it and we don't hamper it, we don't tie two hands behind its back, if we allow it to do what it's supposed to do. So hydration is part of that. People kind of intuitively know that they need to be hydrated. You've probably heard growing up you need to drink 8 glasses of water a day or something thereabouts. So we kind of have this notion that we know we need to drink something. We end up drinking lots of stuff besides water. So that's probably where we'll start, is hydration is not necessarily just any liquid you can put in your mouth. It doesn't have the same effect, obviously. And one of the first places to start for folks who are brand new to understanding that food and drink actually impact your health, because most Americans just look at food as calories, basically. One of the first things I tell patients who come in kind of brand new is the number one best thing you can do is quit drinking your sugar. So liquid sugar, which is going to be obviously soda, but not as obvious, is every other drink you can buy at the grocery store or the convenience store, pretty much. If it's in the aisles of the grocery store and it's a bottled drink, so I'm talking, you know, the juices, you know, grape juice, apple juice, any so-called sports drink, healthy sports drink, Gatorade, Powerade, pretty much any tea, any drink, lemonade, you name it, Crystal Light, it's either going to have sugar or it's going to have a sugar substitute. So it'll be a sugar-free, zero-calorie thing. So that means they've pulled out the sugar and they've put in aspartame, which is NutraSweet, or they put in sucralose, which is Splenda. So learn to read your labels. We were somewhere this past weekend, ran into a convenience store to grab a drink for the kids, and saw some new drink, some kind of water, but flavored, and I had never seen it before. So, of course, grab it, flip it over, read the ingredients. First thing every parent should do, read what it is you're going to allow your kids to put in their mouth. So that's what I did, and it was pretty good. It was water and some natural flavorings, but then it was sucralose. Sucralose is Splenda. Splenda kills 50% of the species of gut bacteria, your good beneficial gut bacteria. Sucralose wipes it out. So immediately I put that back on the shelf. I don't want to feed my kids or allow them to drink something that's going to kill half of their flora, when it's the flora that is a big part of what induces health. I had someone email me or text me over the weekend about what should they do to boost their immune system to prevent the flu. And the thing I camped out on mostly in that answer was gut bugs. Get your gut bugs, your good bacteria, thriving. And that means every bite of food and drink that goes in your mouth, consider, will this hurt or benefit my gut bugs? And sucralose will for sure hurt. So that's your artificial sweeteners, and I won't go deep into that. You know, we could do a whole show, and I will. It's on my list to do. I've had people request me to do a show on aspartame, which is NutraSweet. You know, these people drinking Diet Cokes and Diet Dr. Peppers and all these diet drinks. It's awful. I'd rather you drink a real one than the artificial. But pretty much any drink in the grocery store is going to have either sugar or the artificial sweetener, because if it doesn't, then it's not sweet. And if it's not sweet, you're not going to drink it. So pretty much stick with water if you're going to buy something at a grocery store. So that's first thing. Second thing is be careful with the caffeine and the alcohol. The reasons there are those can be dehydrating because they actually act as a natural diuretic. A diuretic in a pill form is a medicine a doctor can give you to pull the fluid off of you. Lasix, hydrochlorothiazide, these are some common drugs for pulling fluid off. Well, stuff in coffee, tea, and some of the alcohol drinks can do the same thing. It doesn't mean you can't drink coffee and tea. It just means be careful. If you're going to only drink tea all day long and have 8 glasses, especially if it's sweet tea, you're going to dehydrate yourself. And that goes with the Coke, too. People don't realize that there's a lot of salt in Coke and the other sodas. And so no one's going to drink salty drinks. So they put a lot of sugar in. They've got to put enough sugar in to cover the sodium. But that combination of sodium plus the caffeine, which is a diuretic, so the diuretic's going to make you urinate out water. The sodium's at such a high content in that drink, it's going to cause you to be thirsty. Of course, they have to put tons of sugar in to cover the salty. So then you go get another Coke because you're thirsty. It's this vicious cycle, this high-sodium drink that has a diuretic effect, and then it makes you thirsty to go get more. So you have the addictive nature of the sugar, which is more addictive than cocaine. It lights up the dopamine center in the brain more aggressively and more powerfully than cocaine does. So you have that addictive property of sugar, but then you have the actual thirst mechanism kick in because of the sodium that's in the Coke and the diuretic effect of the caffeine. So just be careful on the teas and the coffees. Drinking a ton of it, you'll probably urinate out a lot more. So kind of a good rule of thumb for every cup of coffee or tea, drink a glass of water. That'll kind of compensate for that diuretic effect. So that's probably step one, is just what you're drinking now, be careful because it's probably dehydrating you or has some chemical or sugar or artificial sugar mix that's not beneficial for your health. That's number one. Number two is our food and our environment dehydrate us. People don't realize, you know, they think they're sitting in the office all day, I'm not sweating, I'm not outside working in the sun, so I'm not getting dehydrated. Every breath you exhale has vapor in it. And that's why you can go up to a glass window and exhale and see the vapor and you make the fog on the window. There's moisture in your lungs and in the air that you breathe out. So you're dehydrating yourself just by breathing out. But then the environment, the heat and the air conditioning systems, especially in the West Texas dry climate, if there's no humidity in those systems, they'll actually dehydrate you. Sitting all day in a chair when you don't move and your lymphatics aren't moving, the lymphatics are the other set of blood, well, they're not blood vessels. They're vessels in the body not connected to a pump, your heart. It's this whole second system of vessels, and it relies on your movement for that fluid to move around properly. And when you're sitting all day, that fluid doesn't move around properly. It actually contributes to dehydration. Our foods dehydrate us when we eat processed foods that are in a package, which is pretty much the standard American diet. Fast food, packaged food, processed food. Those foods actually dehydrate you. It takes more water to go into your gut, through your stomach acid and your other enzymes to try to break that food down. So try to eat hydrating foods at the same time you're eating dehydrating foods to compensate for that. If you're going to eat a piece of pizza, that's a dehydrating food. Eat an apple with it. Eat a salad with it. For those of you that have listened to the show for a while, Gina Bria wrote a book called Quench, and she really drove this point home that your food can hydrate you and should hydrate you. And the 8 glasses of water a day is really a myth. Half of that, if not more, should be consumed in your food. So that iceberg lettuce that really has no nutritional value, but it has a lot of hydrating value. There's a lot of water in iceberg lettuce. There's a lot of water in raw vegetables and fruits in general. There's a lot of water in an apple. So you need to eat some of these raw veggies and fruits because they're hydrating. This weekend, my daughter made chia seed pudding. So chia seeds are very nutritious seed. Has lots of omegas, lots of protein, lots of vitamins and minerals. And you just take a couple tablespoons of chia seed and you put it in a bowl with some liquid. You could just do straight water. You could do coconut water. You could do raw milk. You could do coconut milk, almond milk, whatever. And then we put a little vanilla and we put a little bit of stevia or monk fruit extract, one of the sweeteners, which I'll go ahead and mention. Those are natural sweeteners, stevia and monk, M-O-N-K, monk fruit. And you can get that in liquid. You can get it in crystalline powder so it looks just like sugar. You cook with it, bake with it, put it in. My two daughters made lemonade and sweet tea this weekend, but they made it with monk fruit. I even saw it at Costco. They have a bulk big bag of monk fruit extract. And it's sweet, but it doesn't impact your gut flora. It doesn't spike your blood sugar. It's not absorbed into your bloodstream. So you get the sweet effect. And we're not doing that all the time, but as a treat here and there. So they made lemonade, iced tea, and then this chia seed pudding. We put a little bit of monk fruit in there, a little bit of vanilla for flavor, because otherwise it'll be really bland. The chia seed soaks up the liquid. It soaks up the water, the almond milk, or whatever you're using. You let it sit for an hour or two, and it turns into this gelatinous pudding. Well, that chia seed, when you eat that pudding, it will slowly release that water as it passes through the digestive tract. And that's what all these hydrating foods, from iceberg lettuce to apples to all the fresh and raw vegetables and fruits, they release the water as they travel through your digestive tract, as opposed to just guzzling a big old glass of water. You'll absorb some of that, but it's kind of like rain running off a field that's been plowed as opposed to a field that's no-till. A no-till field will soak up that rain kind of like a sponge, where otherwise it just runs off, kind of the same in the gut. The gut will just, that water will just run right through you. It won't absorb as good as it could.
If you're at a salad bar, would you eat, like I use my bed, I don't use iceberg lettuce, I use spinach.
Yep.
Would you, if you had a choice, would you go with the spinach or the iceberg lettuce?
I would always go with the spinach.
You would? Why? Yep.
Because there's more nutrition in it. And from a hydration standpoint, I'm getting so many. At a salad bar, you've got a ton of options for raw vegetables. So you're going to be getting your hydration through the wide variety of raw vegetables that you're eating at the salad bar. But I don't have disdain for iceberg lettuce like I used to. If that's the only option, or there's a hamburger and that's what's on it or whatever.
Yeah.
There is value to iceberg lettuce, and the value mostly is in the water content.
Sure.
It's got a lot of water.
Same as romaine lettuce, I guess?
I think iceberg has more water.
Than romaine.
Yep.
But romaine's got a little more nutritional value.
Yes. The darker green it is, the more nutrition you're going to have.
Right.
And the iceberg was really invented to withstand long hauls over the railways from wherever it was grown to, 1,000 miles across the country to somewhere else. But think about hydrating food. So we don't have to think about dehydrating food. That's guaranteed everything you're eating.
Yeah.
So just try to combo it at least. Grab something that is dripping juice out of it when you bite into it. A cucumber is a great example. A tomatoes, especially if you can get fresh, homegrown or farmer's market. There's a lot more water in a freshly picked, vine-ripened produce than there is in something that was grown, commercially 1,000 miles away and picked too early. Mm-hmm. It's not as hydrating. So think about hydrating foods. Gina Bria, in her book Quench, talked about a tribe, I forget their name, somewhere in South America, I believe, and they're famous for these 50-mile marathons that they run. And she studied them. She's an anthropologist also. She studied this tribe and found out that the way that they stay hydrated on these 50-mile runs is the chia seed. This whole chia, I don't know if they make a pudding, but basically they get the chia seed and they consume it, and it holds the water in their gut for them, and then they hydrate all throughout that run. So it's amazing how food can really hydrate you. So
My wife came home from Natural Grocers yesterday with something called Chia Squeeze.
Yeah, that's right. There's chia seed pouches, and there's chia seed kombuchas, there's chia seed I mean, there's all kinds of stuff.
Chia Squeeze.
And I mean, I'm sure Melody checked the ingredients, and the other ingredients are in that pouch are good, I'm sure. Because
yes.
Typically they'll put it in with some kind of berry juice extract, you know, beet juice or raspberry juice or something like that. So, I mean, seeds are of great nutritional value. Chia seed in particular can soak up that fluid so good. And pound for pound or ounce for ounce, I mean, it's got, I think, more omegas than salmon, more protein than a beef, more calcium than milk, or, you know, you go right down the list. It's very, very nutritional. So I love chia seed. One quick comment on flaxseed. A lot of people like to use that too, and it's fine. I love flaxseed. Lots of good omegas in there. But the thing about flax is you have a very hard time, if not impossible, to digest it. So it acts as a good fiber, and that's okay, and that's good for your system. But you can't break it down and get all the nutrients out of it. So you really need to grind it right before you consume it. If you buy flax that's already ground, you know, in a package of powder, it starts to oxidize and lose some of its value just because it got ground, you know, a week or two or a month or 6 months or however long ago it got ground. It's losing its value. You really want to grind it the same day. But with chia seed, you don't have to do that. You can grind it if you want to, but your body can break that down. It's not as tough to break down. So that's a little side note. So back to hydration. Don't drink your sugar. Don't drink your artificial sweeteners. Try to drink water. You can do flavored water. We do lots of carbonated water even. Perrier and San Pellegrino and Topo Chico. And you can put flavoring in there. We've got some essential oils. I'll put a drop of lime or lemon or grapefruit or whatever flavor I want for the day. I'll put it into that drink, or if you want it sweet, they've got lots of different flavors of stevia. So stevia is the natural sweetener, and there's orange stevia and vanilla stevia and all the different flavors. So you can do that too if you want to. And they do make flavored carbonated beverages that aren't sweet also. So that's another option to mix it up. Of course, tea is very beneficial. All the different herbal teas are great. Green tea is great. So learn to drink some tea. Another little trick on hydration that Gina Bria taught me was do a teaspoon of apple cider vinegar, but get the fermented one where you can see stuff floating in the bottom of that apple cider vinegar. So like a Bragg's apple cider vinegar, it's raw, or there was a brand at Costco I saw the other day too. But the mother, we call it, that's all the good beneficial bacteria are actually still in the bottle, and you want that. So a teaspoon of raw fermented apple cider vinegar with a pinch of sea salt in a glass of water. And that's good for lots of different things. It structures the water, which we'll talk about structured water after the break, because that's what I really want to get into, structured water, how water impacts your cellular health, and even the memory of water, which that's going to sound crazy, but I'll show you the science behind it. Water can actually remember information, including the spoken word. But we'll get to that after the break. But the pinch of sea salt, the apple cider vinegar, will start the structuring process of that glass of water. Apple cider vinegar also has, I've been told, I have not independently verified this through my own research, and I think it was Morley Robbins who told me this, the bacteria, the good beneficial bacteria in the apple cider vinegar helps to break down glyphosate being the number one main ingredient in Roundup and all the generic weed killers that are out there now that you're spraying on your yard or out in the crops, or that are glyphosate's ubiquitous now in our environment. Rainwater has glyphosate in it. Groundwater has glyphosate in it. So even if a crop is organic, if they've irrigated it with groundwater, it's probably got glyphosate. There's glyphosate residue on all these, you know, lots of different foods that the Environmental Working Group has studied. Even organic foods can have glyphosate. And apple cider vinegar bacteria can help break that down, which is very good. Glyphosate disrupts your gut flora, amongst other things. Okay, so that was a trick on hydration, apple cider vinegar, sea salt. I think we'll save the rest of the structured water talk till after the break. So just starting with the basics of eating hydrating food, drinking clean water, and I'll mention the coffee. I've got a cup of coffee right here in the studio, and it's Purity brand, and Andrew Salisbury, I got to interview him a few weeks, or it's probably been 2 or 3 months now. Go back on the archives and find that show, because it's a fascinating show about coffee, and this guy wanted to find out the way to make the world's healthiest coffee. So from the very first step of the process, which is the soil. So he went and studied the soil of different organic farms around the world, coffee farms. And not only did he study it at the beginning of this journey to find the world's healthiest coffee, every single year he has his team analyze the different farms to make sure the nutrient content of that soil is still good that year, because it can change year to year depending on lots of environmental factors. So the soil's number one. Number two, he looks at the way they grow it. Of course, it's got to be organic. It can't be sprayed. Coffee is the most sprayed crop in the world, second to only tobacco. And that coffee bean is like a sponge. It will soak up these pesticides. So if you're only going to do one organic thing, make it your coffee. So how they grow, it's important, but then how they pick it is important. So he discovered that when you pick these beans with a machine, a machine's indiscriminate, so it's going to shake that tree and all these different coffee beans will fall off. So some were perfectly mature and ready to be picked. Some were too old. Some were too young. So you get this whole mixture, wide variety of different stages of maturity. And it turns out when you roast those, when you roast really young ones or ones that are too old and mixed in with the perfect ones, it puts out a bad chemical, a chemical that can induce cancer in the body. So it's got to be handpicked so that you're ensuring that you're getting just the perfect maturity in that bean. And it's got to be roasted just right. Too light of a roast and you don't release the antioxidants. Too dark of a roast and you kill the antioxidants. Too light of a roast, there's too much of that cancer-causing chemical. So you got to have the perfect roast. Then you have to store it the right way. If you don't store these beans the right way, they can be full of mold and fungus. So he figured out how to store it and package it with nitrogen and get all the oxygen out. So all the steps along the way, this guy figured out. And it's a great coffee. So it doesn't give you the jittery effect. It doesn't give you as much of that dehydrating diuretic effect. It doesn't have the acidity that a lot of the coffees do. So it's an outstanding coffee. So coffee in moderation, tea in moderation, plenty of structured water. That is what you should be drinking. When we get back from the break, I will talk about structured water, the fourth phase of water. We're going to talk about the memory of water. That includes some homeopathy. So if you've never heard of that, or Dr. Emoto out of Japan who took pictures of water that was exposed to different words, different music, it's fascinating what different energies, vibrational frequencies, how it impacts the water molecule. And so we'll relate that and your health and inflammation and cellular energy production when we get back from the break. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome back into You're the Cure right here on AM 580. Check out the website, veritasmedical.com, Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Past archived programs, you can go back to the website, check it out for sure. And, of course, along the way, if you have any questions, feel free to text us today on the show. You can do that, 806-745-5800. That's 806-745-5800. We got a text already, or a text we need to get to before the break. It came in right as we were going to break. And we're going to talk about this because I'm very interested in glacial water. That's my thing. I like that. So we'll talk about that. But this one's about structured water. The question is there a good do-it-yourself way for structured water versus buying a bottle that's close to $100?
Do-it-yourself structuring?
Yeah, I guess so. Is there a good way to do it yourself for structured water versus buying a bottle that's close to $100? I guess the bottle doing it for you.
Right.
I don't know.
Probably he's referring to, there's these glass bottles that have rocks, basically stones or gems, crystals in the base of them. Rocks give off, well, everything gives off a frequency. Everything from this table to me, the chair, we all give off, we vibrate at different frequencies, and these rocks vibrate at a frequency that will structure the water. Okay. So probably he's talking about that. Now, that's a refillable water bottle, obviously. It's made of glass, so you use it for a long time. So that's probably one of the most affordable ways, actually.
Yeah, that's what Melody uses.
There's a handheld device It's about the size of a glass of water, but it has an opening at the top and the bottom. You pour your water through it. It vortexes that and puts energy into the water. I forget what that runs for, but I think it might be a little cheaper than $100. But that's basically where as cheap as you're going to get, $50 to $100 for any kind of device or water bottle. There's under-the-sink units. You know, just like you'll spend $500 to put in an RO unit, you can put in a unit that'll filter, mineralize, and then structure. Or you can just put in a structuring device. But I know units that are around $500. So there you have your own water source, just like your RO, you know, at your sink. A little spigot, you turn it on, you get your water out, and it's structured. You could put in a whole house unit. There's various ones all over the spectrum, from more affordable to more expensive.
The extreme.
They're all over the place. The Wellness Enterprise, Patrick Durkin, I interviewed him a number of months ago. You could look it up on the archives. The Hydration Foundation and Patrick Durkin, the Wellness Enterprise. Go to their website. I'm pretty sure that's thewellnessenterprise.com. And he's got a number of different devices that you can have. So it's a one-time expense, and then you just fill up your own water bottle. Or if you could find a spring, I mean, that's God's way of doing it. Water found in nature that's moving, so water going over a babbling brook, you know, a river, aquifer, the spring that's bubbling up, rainwater, these are all this water's structured. But tap water's not. Tap water's dead. It has no energy in it. And we could probably do a whole show on the contaminants that are in tap water. I just read something last week. Environmental Working Group.
Lead and everything else.
Unbelievable the number of chemicals from pharmaceuticals to pesticides, to, of course, the heavy metals. Everybody knows about Flint, Michigan and the lead. But there are, I mean, dozens and dozens and dozens of different chemicals that are carcinogenic. We know they cause cancer. The tricky part of this is all these chemicals have been studied in isolation. So the EPA or the FDA or whoever's going to study this, we'll take lead for an example and say, well, you know, 1/10 of one part per billion is acceptable because it doesn't cause any health damage until you get to, you know, 5/10 part per billion or something like that. So they set these safe standards, but that's just in isolation. That's just when they looked at the lead in a lab rat, you know, all by itself with no other contaminants, no other toxicities. And that's a big problem because we know there's this additive effect. When you add three or four different chemicals together at very low doses, there's a synergistic effect that's not good. I read one study that took the amount of mercury it would take to kill one rat out of 100 and the amount of lead it would take to kill one rat out of 100. When they combined those two, mercury and lead together, it killed 100 out of 100. So the point is nobody's studying the 55 different chemicals that are in your tap water. They're all at low levels, safe quote-unquote levels individually, but when you put them together, they're not so safe. But again, that's a whole nother show. So you need clean water. At the worst, filter it, you know, RO it. RO is going to take out everything, including the good stuff, the minerals. So you've basically got just inert, plain, filtered water. But structuring it is the next step up. It adds vitality and energy back into the water. And that is what your body needs. So if you've never heard the term structured water, again, you can go back in the archives and look that up. Dr. Pollack, Professor Gerald Pollack, University of Washington, I interviewed him a couple of years ago, and he wrote a book called The Fourth Phase of Water. And so he discovered that there isn't just liquid, solid, and vapor. There's this fourth state. It's kind of like this gel-like consistency, like Jell-O. And that's what's inside your cell. So he accidentally punctured a cardiac muscle cell, and under the microscope, what he saw was the cell maintained its integrity. It didn't just extrude all its intracellular water. And so he went on to study this water that everybody thought was H2O inside the cell, and he discovered it was H3O2. Which is a different form of water, this gel-like water. So it's fascinating what this water inside your cell does, but in a nutshell, what it does is provide energy for your cell to function. We talk about the mitochondria as an energy factory in the cell, and it's true. It produces ATP, But according to Dr. Gilbert Ling and all his published research, the ATP that your mitochondria makes isn't enough energetically to run your cell, to maintain the potential, the cell membrane potential. So your cell membrane's got to keep sodium outside, potassium inside, and that creates a charge, a gradient, kind of like a battery effect. But to hold and maintain that gradient, that charge, and that to keep your cell membrane charged up like a rechargeable battery, that cell membrane has got to maintain the sodium and potassium gradient. And energetically, there's just not enough energy to do that with what the mitochondria produces. So Dr. Tom Cowan, I've interviewed a few times, and we'll be interviewing again shortly on his new book. But he goes in great depth in his book about autoimmune disease and vaccines, and then his book about the heart, Human Heart, Cosmic Heart. He talks in great depth about this structured water and how it provides energy for the cell. It helps to detoxify your cell. Think of it as washing your cell out. What's the best way to detox? Clean water, clean structured water, washing out the contaminants in your cell, not only the environmental contaminants from our dirty environment, but your intracellular free radical contaminants that your body produces. When it makes energy, it also makes exhaust, called free radicals. And when you have good, healthy cellular structures and the energy from the structured water to run all those cellular structures, you can deal with that exhaust. So back to structuring. When Dr. Pollock figured this out, and then he discovered that all the water found in nature is structured to a degree. Now, it's not all jello, obviously. Water coming out of a spring is not jello. Rainwater's not jello. So it's a spectrum. You can go from just starting the structuring process all the way to full-blown, where every single molecule in your glass is structured, and that's the jello. But that's what the chia seed does. When you put a little chia seed in your water and it starts to soak that water up, it's actually changing the structure of the water molecules also in structuring that. So does sea salt. And so does the apple cider vinegar. It starts to structure the water. So I guess for the guy who texted, or the gal, a pinch of sea salt in your water, that will start the structuring process, would be the absolute most affordable way to do it, if you couldn't find some spring water. So that leads us to, now that we know there's this other phase of water, and we know how important water is to the intracellular energy production and the battery effect of your cell, we've got to talk about this more quantum physics topic with water. So I think it's back in the 80s. Dr. Emoto, he's a natural doctor in Japan. He started taking photographs of water. He started with polluted rivers. The most polluted river in Japan or China, I forget which country. He took a drop of that, he froze it, and then he looked at that water frozen water droplet under the slide, and it just had an image that was not symmetrical. It was just ugly, not pleasing to the eye. Then he took a drop of water from the most pristine, non-contaminated, non-polluted mountain stream coming off a glacier maybe, or out of a spring. And he froze that, and he looked under the microscope, and it was this beautiful crystalline structure, kind of like a snowflake would be, just beautiful. And so he was amazed by that, just the physical characteristic and the structure and the geometry involved in that water droplet. So he went on to take photographs of all sorts of water from all sorts of different places. And then he started taking water that was exposed to people speaking negative words. And I know that's going to be a leap for some people to understand, how could the spoken word impact the water molecule. So I'd encourage you to look up Dr. Emoto's work. He's got some books that are published. And when someone speaks love versus hate, it changes what that water crystalline structure looks like. So Dr. Emoto didn't know why that happened. He just observed it. So then some other doctors around the world started studying a little deeper. And there was a doctor, Jacques Benveniste, in the 1980s, who was running. He's an immunologist in France, and he was in charge of this lab that studied really allergy responses. So if you're allergic to cats or dogs or ragweed or whatever, what he would do is take some blood from the patient, and then he would mix it with that particular antigen, say some cat dander, and he would could look under the microscope and tell that cat dander had elicited a response from the patient's blood. So the patient's blood has these cells, immune system cells, called basophils. When basophils react with these different allergens in the environment, they just basically explode. It's called degranulation. They excrete all their histamine. So he kind of developed that test, you know, to see if you're allergic to stuff. Well, then one of the guys in his lab, a doctor in his lab, said that he would like to do the same type of test, but he would like to dilute the antigen, meaning dilute the cat dander or the ragweed or whatever. And so he had a vial of water and cat dander, and he took one drop out of that vial and put it into another vial with 100% water. And then he would shake it up, and he would take one drop out of that vial and put it into the next vial of 100% water. So he's only taken one drop of the allergen, of the protein allergen, the cat dander. But he's diluting it 10 times, 20 times, 100 times. He dilutes it to the point where there is no more of the original substance left. And then he tests it with the patient's blood, who they know the patient's allergic to cat dander, and they see the same basophil degranulation. That basophil extrudes all its histamine, and it's eliciting the same reaction, even though the water that they added to the patient's blood had no more cat dander in it. It was fascinating. So Jacques Benveniste published this, or tried to get it published in the journal Nature. Nature's the most prestigious research journal in the world, and every single guy on their editorial panel said, this is crazy. I mean, I see the data in front of me, but there's no explanation for this, so we're not going to publish it. And it took them like 2 years, and they finally published it with the disclaimer that we don't really understand this, but here you go. And then the whole scientific community basically rose up against Dr. Benveniste and ridiculed him and said that somehow this was a hoax and people in his lab were tricking him. And I mean, it was a big controversial thing. And so they pretty much discredited that. So then Dr. Montanay, I don't remember where he was from, Germany maybe, he won the Nobel Prize in 2008 because he discovered the HIV virus. So Montagnier is a very, very credible guy. And he puts his whole reputation on the line to go prove if Dr. Jacques Benveniste was right, was his theory that somehow water could memorize stuff like cat dander. So Professor Montague, the Nobel Prize winning professor, and what he was kind of known for, he discovered HIV, but then he could measure through electronical gadgets, through this technology, he can measure the electromagnetic frequency that the HIV virus was giving off. So everything has like a fingerprint to it. It vibrates at a certain frequency that's very unique to it. Everything in nature does this. We all have a vibrational frequency. That's why if you do the exact opposite frequency, it can destroy that substance. So when an opera singer reaches a certain pitch, that frequency, it can shatter the glass. It's the same concept. That glass vibrates at a certain frequency, resonates, they call it, at a certain frequency. And when you counteract it's how noise-canceling headphones work. Mm-hmm. When you put in the exact opposite frequency, it'll cancel it out, basically. So that's what we're talking about, these frequencies. Everything emits it. You may not understand this because it's not generally understood, and this is more quantum physics, which nobody has to take quantum physics in high school or college, so nobody really understands this. But back to Dr. Montanay, he measures this in the HIV virus, so that's kind of his thing. He knows how to measure stuff. So he did this with HIV. He had a vial of the virus, and he took a drop out of that vial and put it into a vial of pure water, shook it up, took a drop of that into another vial of pure water, shook it up, and continued that process 10 times, 20 times, 100 times, to where there's no more HIV virus left. And then he got out his little equipment, his frequency monitor, and he measured and detected the fingerprint of HIV in that water. Then to take it a step further, he transmitted that frequency, that fingerprint, for the HIV virus over, and it was the DNA of the HIV virus. He sent that via the internet to another lab in another country, in Italy, to one of his comrades. That lab took that frequency fingerprint, put it into a PCR, which basically he put it into a vial that had all the nucleotides. So DNA is built from nucleotides. Think of it as a pearl necklace with four different kinds of pearls: red pearls, blue pearls, green pearls, and white pearls. So you put all the pearls in there, but then you got to have the machinery to actually string the pearls together in a certain sequence. You want it blue, blue, green, red, blue, blue, green, red, or whatever the specific, kind of like Morse code. That's how the DNA works. So they had all the nucleotides in the vial, and then they had the machinery there to make the DNA. Then he transmitted the frequency of HIV into the vial, and it made the viral. It made the HIV viral DNA.
Wow.
It was fascinating. The point of this being that, well, twofold, everything has a frequency. Everything has a fingerprint to it. But secondly, water takes on this information. Water carries information. Water holds information. We don't fully understand this, but this is the field of homeopathy. Some people hear the word homeopathy and they think, oh, that just means holistic, you know, alternative doctors. No, homeopathy is a very specific branch of medicine. And it was developed in the 1800s. And I interviewed a guy about this, Dana Ullman. You can go back on the archives and find him. He did a whole show just on homeopathy to talk about the historical relevance of it and the power of it. And it's fascinating how some German doctor in the 1800s figured this out, that you can dilute stuff and it actually has a medicinal effect in the body. But there used to be lots of homeopathic physicians throughout the world. In fact, in the United States, the American Institute of Homeopathy was founded in 1847. 1844. The AMA, the American Medical Association, was founded in 1847. So the American Institute of Homeopathy was older than the AMA. And between 1859 and 1880, there were 5,000 physicians in the U.S. who graduated from homeopathic medical schools. But then it kind of got ridiculed and called quackery and all this stuff. Really, the chemical pharmaceutical-based medicine was rising to the top for various reasons we won't get into. But bottom line, from turn of the century, 1900 to 1923, we went from 22 homeopathic medical schools in the United States down to two. So homeopathy was just shut down throughout America and the world. And if you weren't an allopathically trained doctor, then you were a quack and you didn't know what you're talking about. But that's a side note. Go listen to Dana Ullman on the show where I interviewed him. The point is, this memory of water, homeopathy, dilution, and water remembering the frequencies, this is all quantum physics stuff that's absolutely fascinating. I don't understand it totally, but everyone knows I like to overlay scripture, biblical truth, with worldly knowledge. When you start to read scripture and what it says about the power of your words and your thoughts, and Caroline Leaf and I talked about this a few shows back. She has a book, Switch on Your Brain, and she goes in depth about this. And I highly recommend everybody listen to that show. But when you understand that we're full of water, molecule-wise, we're 90% water. If you lined up all the molecules that made up you, you'd count 1 to 100, every hundredth molecule would be something besides water. So there'd be, you know, calcium, then water, for 99 molecules, and then it'd be sodium, then water, for 100 molecules. And then, I mean, we are 90% water on the molecular level. by weight and volume, we're 70% water. We are a being of water. That's what we are. Our cells are water. And this structured water has a unique property to it. And then when memory and words and thoughts can impact it, and you look at Scripture and just even the first few sentences of Genesis, it talks about even before God said, let there be light, and before he made the earth, I mean, the water was there. There's something powerful about water from the beginning, from creation. It's fascinating. So I know this is a show about hydration, and yes, you need to drink clean water, preferably structured. Eat your water also. Don't just drink 8 glasses a day. Half of those should be eaten, so that means eat raw. You need clean water. You need to move around. That's one thing I probably didn't touch on enough, and we'll touch on it next week on the movement pillar. But to get that water to actually distribute throughout the body properly and effectively and irrigate every cell, you need to move. So stay tuned next week. We'll talk about movement with water.
Question on the bottled water. There's a lot of different types of bottled water out there. I mean, you've got volcanic Fiji water, you got Essentia, you've got Icelandic glacial water. There's a lot of different types. You've got these deep artesian well water. You know, so when you go to the grocery store and you see all these different types of water, what do you like the best out of all the plethora of bottled water everywhere?
If I can find a glass bottled water, that's probably going to be the best if there's a whole assortment. Most grocery stores don't have glass bottled water.
No.
Natural grocery, Sprout, stuff like that would. And out of the glass bottled water, it's going to be what you're going to find is spring water, sometimes glacial water. Both those are good in my book. But let me give practical rules of thumb. Most people shop at convenience stores and grocery stores, regular grocery stores. Like if you're at Allsup's and your only choice is a bunch of sweet stuff or artificial sweeteners or water, obviously go with the water, then use the feel test. So if that plastic bottle is real squishy, real soft and squishy and crinkly and makes all that noise, you know, the cheapest one probably, don't get that one. That plastic puts chemicals into the water. And the real soft plastic does it more than the hard plastic. So like the Fiji water, which is from one of those deep volcanic, I think you were mentioning, that's a harder plastic. So that's number one. If you got to drink plastic, at least go with a harder plastic. And then don't try to go with something found in nature. So spring water, like Ozarka spring water. Don't know what spring exactly it's coming from. And most of those Ozarka bottles now are the real squishy plastic that's real loud. And so I don't go with that. But if you can find spring water, that's probably best. Glacial water is another, it might be even better if you were for sure it was coming from a glacier, like that Icelandic glacier water. The thing with glacier water, I mean, it's an old frozen water, but when water freezes, when water's getting very cold, water's a unique molecule. It actually expands when you heat it, and it expands when you freeze it, when you cool it. That's the only substance on Earth that does that, by the way, and you can't compress it either. It's a fascinating molecule. But water that's getting very, very, very cold just before freezing actually sinks. That's heavy water, we call it, and that water has more deuterium in it. Deuterium is an isotope of hydrogen. It has an extra proton on it. So lighter water, we'll call it, is what freezes at the top of these glaciers. So the theory on glacial water, when you get this ice from a glacier and then you melt it down into water, it's deuterium depleted water. Now, people could go Google that, deuterium depleted water and cancer. They've done studies when people consume deuterium depleted water, it inhibits cancer cell growth. And they think it's because of that, the deuterium, which is an isotope of hydrogen, it sinks to the bottom of this cold water, so the glacial water doesn't have the deuterium. I don't know if that's all the benefit of it. I mean, it's clean, it's pure, that kind of thing. So I like glacial water. I like deep artesian water. I like spring water. You know, if you can find a Mountain Valley, I think it's one brand. It's from a clean, pristine spring up in the mountains, you know, runoff from snow and glaciers and stuff like that. I think is probably some of your best water. if I had to go with just a straight filtered, you know, these big bottling companies, Coca-Cola and other ones, they'll get tap water and they'll filter it, RO it, different methods. You know, that's okay. I'm not going to make it my daily water, though, because it lacks the minerals and it's dead water. I want my water to have charge to it, so I'm going to put sea salt, and I'm going to try to structure it by either putting it in that glass water bottle or using a handheld device.
Well, I'm an Icelandic drinker. I like the Icelandic water.
That's good water.
From the glacial stuff.
I would put it into the structuring water bottle and a pinch of sea salt, and that would be ideal.
Ideal.
Yeah.
But you think that the glacial water, or at least one study shows, that it actually fights cancer?
Yes, deuterium depleted water. And we'll talk about that with Dr. Tom Cowan. His book comes out next week, so I'm supposed to be able to interview him as soon as it comes out. I don't have a date yet.
Well, that's
but that's
case.
In his book. Deuterium depleted water is in his book.
Well, you get that. You would get that off a glacial melt, but not off a spring-fed.
Correct, yeah. This deuterium depleted water isn't... there's a process you can create deuterium depleted water, but to find it naturally, it's going to be from the glaciers, basically.
Wow. Okay.
And then there's a spring or a pool of water. It's called Lourdes water, Lourdes, Lourdes water in France. It's a sanctuary of Our Lady of Lourdes, France. The Catholic Church, I think, owns this piece of land, and this particular, Bernadette Soberius was a parishioner, I believe, in the 1850s at this place, and she had a healing effect from the water that was coming out of this spring at this Catholic institution. And since then, they've documented, I think I read, it was like 93 different official Catholic Church documented miracles. So to be classified as a miracle, the priests have to come in and, you know, really study it. I think there's even a council somewhere that looks at these individually, case by case, and holds it up to scientific rigor. And they've officially confirmed that this water alone at Lourdes, France, healed people from cancer and other things, crippling effect diseases. And so they're officially miracles. So this is some kind of miracle water. There's lots of minerals in it. It's structured, but I think it's deuterium depleted also. That's another beneficial effect of it. So, water's fascinating. It's really just an incredible molecule. And when you're a spiritual-minded person and a biblical-minded, scriptural, when you start to really dive in and do a study, do a biblical study on water, it is amazing. So,
to the text line says, Essentia water isn't structured?
No, it's not. I only know of one structured water already bottled in a plastic water bottle. Used to be called H9, and then they changed it. I think it's Fusion or Fusion. I'm sure someone sells it. It's a multi-level marketing. And there, as far as I know, they're the only company that knows how to keep it structured, because it'll destructure. If it just sits in a water bottle, it can destructure. Somehow they figured out how to prevent that from happening. So, no, you can't buy structured water already in a plastic bottle at the grocery store. Essentia is fine. It's great. It's clean. It's got a high pH, which is good. Alkaline water is good. Ionic water is good. Alkaline is usually alkaline because it's mineralized.
Would you rather have the Essentia or the Icelandic glacial water?
Depends on the day. That's another point. It depends on everyone's unique and individual, and I think we need different waters at different times. So like you said, you drink that glacial one and it makes you feel good, then I would say for you, that needs to be the one. For me, if I drink both and Essentia, I feel better with it, I'm going to go with that one. But it's probably not a one-size-fits-all for everybody. They're both excellent waters.
I like the Icelandics. They're hard to find sometimes, though. They sell out of them so fast.
Yeah.
So whenever I do see them, and they are in convenience stores now, so when I do see those,
yeah,
and they are in a strong water bottle, I buy half a dozen.
Yeah, glacial, Essentia. I've seen Topo Chico's, like Stripes. They have Topo Chico. That's the carbon, and that's from the source down in Mexico.
7-Eleven carries Icelandics.
So, yeah, you can find it. But even, you know, if you have to get bottled water, there's a magnesium life water I've seen out there.
And real quick about the pH deal. What's that all about? Like, I think Icelandic, it says on the bottle pH 8.9 or something on the bottle.
Right.
What's that all about?
Well,
does that matter?
Probably. I mean, there used to be this big thing about drinking alkaline water and it cured everything. I think probably is because it had the minerals in it, so there was some benefit to it. But minerals will make your pH higher, which is good. You don't want to drink acidic stuff all day long. So water typically is about neutral to a little basic, but the more minerals it has, the more alkaline it'll be, and that's beneficial for you. You need the minerals.
And one other quick question before we wrap up. So Robin wants to know, which sea salt do you recommend to add?
I'd like Redmond's Real Salt from Utah. I like Celtic Sea Salt. Himalayan's okay, too. I know that's a real popular one. It's the number one most sold. The pink salt.
Mm-hmm.
So I like all three of those. And there's lots of other sea salts out there. But those are the most common. I think they're all fine.
Okay. Dr. Edwards, everybody. Again, Veritas Medical. Check out the website, veritasmedical.com. Good show today over hydration. And you'll be able to, if you didn't catch the whole show, we'll have it up on the website for too long, veritasmedical.com. You have a great rest of the week, sir.
Thank you. Look forward to
seeing you back here next week, where we'll talk next week about
movement. Yes, sir.
Movement, very important. Thank you. Have a great week.
Thank you.
Stick around. We'll be back with more.